Amen. And while they're doing that, you guys can turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Hi, bud. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell on myself while we're waiting. I am just so nervous. I know, we're family, but yeah, this is different. Well, I was mad at the devil that day. I still am. I still am mad at him, but today I am excited. And I want to laugh. You want to be laugh? Okay, Proverbs 17:22 says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Yes. So it's better to laugh. So I brought me a couple things. I do children's ministries. And so I don't know if you've ever worked with children, but they are so honest and open. And they share things sometimes that just like, where did that come from? I know I didn't say that. So I have a few of these. I stole them or no, I borrowed them from other people. Okay. No, I didn't steal them. Thank you, Lord. The Sunday school teacher asked, my goodness. Okay. The Sunday school teacher asked, now, Johnny, tell me frankly, do you say prayers before eating? And Johnny looks up at her and says, no, sir. Actually, it's a ma'am. I don't have to. My mom is the best cook there is. Okay, here's another one. I had been teaching my 3-year-old daughter, Caitlin, the Lord's Prayer. For several evenings at bedtime, she would repeat after me the lines from the Lord's Prayer. Finally, one night, she decided to go solo. So I listened with pride as she carefully said each word right up to the end of the prayer. She said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some emails. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a little girl, I didn't even know emails existed. So that tells you on my generation, they didn't. Well, maybe they did. We just didn't know. A little boy was overheard praying, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't really worry about it, because I'm having a real good time like I am. Isn't that cute? I tell you, it feels good to laugh, huh? Yeah. All right. A Sunday school teacher asked her children as they were on their way to the church service. I'm not sure why they're not already at the church, but she said, and why is it necessary to be quiet in church? One bright little girl yelled out, because people are sleeping. Is there any sleepers in here? I hope you're not sleeping on me. I know you don't sleep on Pastor Shane, because I don't know about you, but I listen because he's so funny that I wait for the next tagline, because he throws them in there. Why? Because he wants you to pay attention. And not only that, but I think the Holy Spirit just feeds him with all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. God, I could use that. Okay, last one. My coworker's 3-year-old son, Reese. This is funny. He wanted to pray, so he started, Our Father, who does art in heaven. Howard is his name. Amen. Doesn't it feel good to laugh just to let go and let God? Don't be so serious. Sometimes it's okay to laugh at yourself. Life is hard. We don't need to be hard on ourselves. Amen. And so I go into that with this. The message title would be Having a Great Attitude. Having a Great Attitude. And those of you who are out in high-tech area lion out there, welcome. I'm so glad that you're joining us today. And Pastor Shane gives his love and is very honored that you're with us today. So don't give up on me, but get your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 4. Verse 4 of Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I could use some peace of God today. How about you? With everything that's going on, and what is it now? 14 days, 15 days till election? Oh my. We need that. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, that word virtue could be power, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Twice now, that word peace. Are you catching on? Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. To be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. There's a lot of meat there. And I want to go back and just kind of read one more. I want to read starting with verse 11. It says, now not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Are we doing that? I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to just point out something here about verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes we take that out of context. Sometimes we say that we can do anything that God can strengthen us. But it goes with verse 12. Because the only way that we can go through and go through the hardships, the good times and the bad times, is only through Him. Only through Him. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me when I need His strength to get through the hunger times and also in the good times. Amen. We can do what He's asked us to do because He gives us the strength to do it. We can't do anything in our own strength. So verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just remember that next time you just think, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My son, Troy, fell off a fishing boat. He was a crab fisherman. That's a dangerous job. Seems like my boys are all in dangerous jobs. Even my husband. Even Pastor Shane. It's like, what's up with that? But one thing he did remember, and he remembered, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's a little song that we used to sing in children's church. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He's kept saying that to himself because he fell off the boat. And I don't know if you know much about crab fishing boats, but it's noisy. And there's not very much time for people to be looking around. Everyone's got a job to do. So he was out in the ocean for quite a while. But they have a string that follows them. It's hard to explain. But all he could do was hold on to whatever he had. And he just kept singing that little song until they came and found him. So, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It means a lot more to him. But it means a lot to me too because he saved my son. And it means a lot to you too because when you can't do it, he'll give you the strength to do it. Amen? So, having a great attitude. Lord, I just thank you for this time we gathered in your name. We've spoken your word. Now, Lord, I pray that the word would go forth, that it would not come back void. I pray, God, that I would decrease, that you would increase in me, Lord. Empty me, Lord, that I would only hear your voice. Calm my spirit. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open and our ears to hear what you have for each one today. Holy Spirit, script, teach, guide, and direct. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor is yours, Lord. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. In the scriptures that we just read, Paul was speaking here to encourage and teach that we are to just slow down. I encourage us today to slow down and enjoy the journey. Not to pursue worldly riches or get caught up in struggles of our flesh or become anxious in life, but to keep our thoughts, our minds, and our eyes fixed on the things of the Lord. It's hard to do when things are going on around us, huh? To learn to be content in whatever state we happen to be in at that time, and to bring all our needs, all our requests, all our concerns to Him with thanksgiving. Did you notice that it didn't say with complaining? Thank God. But we do a lot of that, don't we? No, with thanksgiving, whether it be a good or a bad need. It's an attitude of gratitude in our heart. And having a great attitude is work. It's work. It's discipline. Amen. So it said, and to bring all our needs, all our requests, all our concerns with thanksgiving to Him, not complaining, but to be willing to do whatever God requires of us. And when God requires something of you, He will equip you. I'm glad that He doesn't call the already equipped. He calls you and equips you for His glory, right? Amen. Just remember that. He chose you. So I ask you today, do you have a teachable heart and are you open to having a good attitude? Or do you have a tootie attitude? Or maybe a rebellious attitude or a it's my way or the highway attitude? There's so many attitudes. And so I want to talk about having a great attitude, okay? Are you willing? Are you teachable? Do you ever look in a mirror? Do you ever walk by a mirror and not look in it? I have a hard time doing that. But there's a mirror in the store, I don't care what it is, I'm looking. Come on, I'm not the only one that does that. Okay. Even when you go into people's homes and they have mirrors on the wall, what do you do? What's the first thing you do when you see that mirror? Okay. A great attitude. All right. I have a hard time not to look in the mirror if one is around, and I already asked you. We all want to look good. We all want to make sure our love handles aren't showing. We also want to make sure there's nothing in our teeth. It's nothing worse than having black pepper or green things in your teeth. People are looking at you and they're like, is something wrong with me? You know, you smell. No. Oh boy, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but okay. Or just to catch a peek at that good looking person in the mirror, which would be me, myself, and I. Oh my gosh, did I just do a little shooky pride there? That's what we call it. Oops, that pride just snuck right in there, didn't it? Those three words are the greatest problem we have with a great attitude, because it's all about me, myself, and I. Amen? Amen. Come on. We spend a lot of time on ourselves when in reality we're supposed to be full of God and empty of ourselves. Amen? Totally empty. Ouch. What does that mean? Never gave it much thought. Totally empty. Do you want God to use you? Begin to ask God to deal with our pride and give us love for people. That's the difference. Pride and love can't mix. You can't love if you have pride. Unconditional love. Do you know what unconditional love is? That's the love that God gave His Son for us. Yeah, He gave His Son to us and died on a cross and rose again. Even when we spit on Him, He did it anyway. That's true. You can read that. It's true. Yeah. Do we want God to use you? Begin to ask God to deal with our pride and give us love for people. Jesus, there's a song that says that he's the darling of heaven, that he was exalted in heaven, and he left his heavenly home, his priestlyhood, came down in the form of a little baby in a very smelly, smelly cow manger, really. That's how he came to. And he walked the earth, and he felt, and he did, and he had his being, just like you and I have. He felt our hurts. He felt our victories, but he never sinned. He was without sin. He came to be that sacrificial lamb for us. That's humble. Jesus humbled and gave his all for us. He gave his all just for you. Make it personal. Think about that. Wow. Also, another way of looking in the mirror represents only you. That's when you're brushing your teeth or picking the stuff out of your hair, or like my cat. My cat loves to sit on the sink and play with the water while I'm brushing my teeth. It's like, and my cat is not a normal cat, thanks to Kathy. I think Kathy strangled it and made it mad when it came to me, because that cat is mean. He'll attack your feet. He's just, his name is Oreo M. M for Mighty Mouse. He's just like crazy. But, and I don't even know why I said that. Are you looking in the mirror represents only you? You know the real you when you're looking in the mirror and it's looking back at you, right? Right? Are you open to new ideas? Are you teachable? Will you accept change? Will you let others speak in your life to make you better? To make you a better you? What about accepting help from someone who maybe sees a flaw in us? Do we take it personal? Do we accept it? What about change? What about that? My note, I'm just going to read what my note says. What about accepting change or open-minded to others' thoughts or even concerns for you to help you along to be a better you and to help you grow and to not take things personal? It's real easy to take things personal, isn't it? Even when people aren't even talking about you, you take things personal. I had a friend. My friend was my friend, but was my friend because my husband and her husband were best friends. So we were thrown in the mix. Ever been there in that kind of relationship? Yeah. Well, you know what? My friend, we were two different people with two different ways of seeing things. Yet we had to be together because our husbands were friends. So, and you know, looking back on that now, at that time, I was kind of new in the Lord. I was immature. I was probably in my 20s. And I was just trying to do what God told me to do and be the super mom because I had two kids. I had my first kid when I was 21 and my second when I was 23. So I was about 25 or 26 at this time. Okay. I was thrown into a friendship because our husbands were best of friends. We were two people with very different ways, with our strong opinions, strong-willed, okay, I admit it, and some things she would do and ways she would act, I had to eat crow many times because it just irritated me. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says iron sharpens iron, and you know what where I'm going here? And so looking back now that I'm 60-plus, I can see that she was put in my life to make me a better person. Honestly. I wasn't open at the time to be teachable like I'm asking today. But I'm glad that I learned and ate lots of pie, crow pie. Do you know what crow pie tastes like? Yeah, it's not good. And I needed to learn some things back then quickly because God threw me into ministry right after that. And so I'm a better person because of her in my life. And I admit that now. And I don't know where she is, but I know that if I ever see her, I'm going to give her a big hug and thank her for the misery that she put me through. In love. And made me a better person because of it. Does that make sense? A happy, great attitude, right? Okay. But I'll tell you what, eating crow's pie is not fun because it humbles you and it teaches you about forgiveness. It teaches you about not having the last word. I don't know about you, but I have a son who has to have the last word. And we go on and on. Yes, goodbye. Okay. Goodbye. All right. And now we have texting. So you text and they text you back and you don't know. So just give up. Let them have the last word. Amen? Amen. So I had to learn to allow God and others to speak in my life. That's hard to do. Why? Because we have pride. Why? Because I know better. And it's hard to let go of control. I don't know about you, but strong-willed lady I am. I like control. I'm melancholy, so I like a list. Living with Pastor Shane, the list doesn't work. Neither does the control. So that's another one that's iron sharpen iron. And I'm thankful that God's put them in my life because I'm better for that. So I know what I'm talking about today, okay? I'm learning as well. So I'm learning to allow God and others to speak into my life, and I want to encourage you to let others speak into your life. Begin to let down our walls and to take a risk. When's the last time you took a risk for Jesus? Wow, if you don't have one, you better take a risk for Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit guide and teach us to strive to be better. I know most of us have struggles with loss and brokenness in our lives. We all have hurts. We all have insecurities. Others perhaps have hurt you somehow, and you're holding on to unforgiveness. Or maybe anxieties or not forgiving yourself. Staying home instead of fellowshipping with us. It's safer at our home. Addictions or worry or strife or anger. These are all. Has your enemy, the devil, robbed you of your joy? Has he turned your peace into doubt or insecurity? Do you know that God wants to bring healing and restoration to you? He's just waiting for you to give him the key and ask. That's as simple as it is, but it's hard to let go of unforgiveness. It's hard to let go of all those things because what? I was right. They were wrong. You know, we justify it. Ask God to come into those broken places in your life and trust him because in his perfect timing, he'll bring wholeness to you again. Did you know that God desires for his people to be holy? We don't talk a lot about that. We talk about he's coming back. But he's coming back for a church. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. God desires for his people to be holy. And the things that I just rattled off, those things can't be in the presence of God. I'm just saying what the word says. But he gives you a way in Philippians. Bring all those things to him with thanksgiving. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows the anger in your heart. He already knows all of that. So go to him with a grateful heart. And he will take that and turn it around and make something that's terrible beautiful. There's a song, Something Beautiful, Something Great. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was all my crud, and he made something beautiful out of it. And he can do that for you too. God desires for his people to be holy, and that comes only by the Holy Spirit. On our own, we can't do it. You can't do it on your own. There's no way. Can't. We need the Lord. and the precious Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit convicts. Only the Holy Spirit can work out the process of sanctification and holiness in us. Those are Christian lingo words. You know, like the ghetto words or the bayou and all the weird words. Well, these are Christianian words. Christianian words. Sanctification. What does that mean? Does anyone know? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. Because we should be sanctified. What does sanctification mean? Sanctification means to sanctify something is to set it apart. This is great, you guys. This is you. Is to set apart for God's special use and purpose. That's what sanctification is. And not only that, but God chose you. You didn't choose him. And you don't choose to get saved. It's only by the Spirit of God that he draws you to give your heart to him. You can't just wake up and say, I think I'll give my heart to God today. No, it don't work that way. Now, a sinner's cry for help, he hears. But it's only through the Spirit that he draws. And there's something here that's not on my notes, but I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you because I've been asked it before in counseling when I'm counseling people. If you doubt and have feelings about something that maybe you've done wrong, you have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit, okay? That's the only unforgivable sin in the Bible. Just by you feeling like there's something missing tells me that you have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit, okay? Because you would not have the goody feelings. You would not have the sorrow, the oh my. You would not even want to repent. Why? Because your heart would be wax cold. Have you ever tried to take dirt or pieces of black stuff out of a candle that's hard? That's what it's talking about. So anyone who comes to me and asks me, I'm unforgivable because I blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but yet in your heart of hearts, you're soft. You did not. And I want you to be free in that because I know that the devil uses that on people, especially people with addictions, because you don't know what you did sometimes. And I want you to be free today, okay? Okay? And you wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't even be searching or trying to reach out to God if you had done that. Totally different, okay? So, say yes and amen. And when next time the devil brings that up, say, uh-uh. Exactly. Okay? So sanctification means to be set apart for God's special use and purpose. Wow. That's awesome. Just think about that. Can't fathom that the God that created the universe set us apart for his purpose and plan. For each one of us, we have a destiny. We need to get up and get going. We need to take a risk. It's a fun journey. I know. Been on it. Got the t-shirt. I do. The other word is holiness. He convicts and can work out the process of sanctification and holiness in us. Holiness means literally holy living. Means that the Christian lives a life that is set apart, reserved to give glory to God. It is a life of discipline, focus, and attention to matters of righteous living. And righteous means right standing with the Lord. Okay, that's what that means. So, reading that again. God desires for his people to be holy, and that comes only by the Holy Spirit. On our own, we can't do it. On our own, we can't forgive. On our own, our flesh just gets in the way. That flesh is stinky. That flesh is called your body. That flesh is that desire to do what's opposite of what God's word says. That's the flesh. I know we talk about that word, but I want you to understand those words because it's Christian lingo. We forget that new babies in the Lord don't know those lingo words. Okay? All right. Let's go on. A disciplined, self-controlled life not only requires time, determination, and hard work, it also requires self-denial. There's that flesh again. Self-denial. But I tell you what, the rewards are worth it. Amen? It was self-denial for me to let my friend make me look really foolish in front of people and me just eat crow pie. Self-denial, even if it hurts, it's worth the rewards that God will give us. Amen? Because in the promises that he's given us, they despised him. They will despise us. Say yes. 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 Not only that, you can see it playing out in the news. You can see it playing out in the world right now. You can see it playing out in our country. Yeah. Trying to take away rights. Freedoms. I am so God that I am free in the Lord. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. We don't have to worry. Now I'm getting mad at the devil again. It's getting in my vein. If we want to stay in a place of contentment and constant victory, we must diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking the Lord? How do you do that? Desire to experience his continual presence in our everyday lives only through the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit leads. The Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit is a promise. That's another neat one. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit, that it would come and be our comforter in times of need, that it would be our teacher. It's everything to us. And it helps us, not our will, but thy be done through the Holy Spirit. Gosh, I'm telling you what, that Holy Spirit, you need to use that baby. But the Holy Spirit is a respecter and will not push on you. You have to be willing to open up and let it in. Open up, let it in. Page 2. All right. Where are we at? As we begin to fill our mind with God and thoughts, meditate on good reports. That's what Philippians 4:8 said. To meditate on good reports, good things, wholesome practices, God's holy word. Build a relationship with the Lord through prayer, devotion, study time, quiet times. Doesn't that sound like fun? Then why on earth do we not do it? Why do we have to fight our flesh? My flesh, it fights me. It says, no, don't do this. Yes, we are going to do this. Yes. Because the enemy knows that if you get that in you, that you have a relationship with the Lord, that you have a prayer life, that you know the word inside and out, you have victory and he can't control you anymore because you are what I would call a dynamic, devil-kicking, stomping person. Oh, a holy roller, maybe a Pentecostal person as well. After all, we are a Pentecostal church, right? Shh, don't tell nobody. Secret, secret. Amen? I'm just playing with you. I'm sorry. Well, we are a Pentecostal church, though. We really are. So it's okay to say, praise God. It's okay to, hallelujah. It's okay to raise your hands and worship the Lord. When little kids want something, what do? Pick me up, pick me up. We want the Lord to pick us up. Love us. Amen? Yeah. All right. So, we should be developing a relationship with the Lord. And if you're not, it's not too late. You can start today, which is fun. Because every morning, his mercies are new. Aren't you glad you don't have to live on yesterday's mercies and grace? Every morning, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies will never come to an end. They are new every morning. You can take that to the bank. I need goosebumps. That's how much our Lord loves us. You guys should really be excited. So, we will develop a relationship with the Lord. Tell yourself that. We will develop a relationship with the Lord. It's not just going to fall out of the ceiling and fall on you. It's work. It's work. If someone told you that Christianity is just really a walk in the park, get behind me, because it is not a walk in the park. It's work. It's self-denial, dying to this flesh, dying to the black dog. Feed the white dog, not the black dog. Whatever dog you're feeding, flesh or spirit in you, it's kind of like the little red devil and the little white devil, and one's telling you this, one's telling you that. Go to the white one. Feed the white one. Amen? Thoughts affect our attitude and our moods. Do you know that? And someone said this morning that their mind controls a lot of what we do, and it is true. We need to learn to control our mind, our thoughts, keep our thoughts under control. The only way to do that is to get into the Word. The only way to do that is to ask the Holy Spirit for help. The only way to do that is to quote the Word, say, body, we are going to church today. Get up. You've got to almost make yourself do things, or you're not going to get them done. You've got to open this Bible and read it in order for that to come forth. Amen? Amen. So thoughts affect our attitude, and then our attitude affects our moods. I don't know about you, but I'll be cleaning or doing something, all of a sudden I'll feel mad. It's like, what the heck? Where did that come from? Well, perhaps it was the enemy trying to steal your joy. So what do? Go take a hike. You know, kick him out. Amen. Or if you walk in a room and people are talking and all of a sudden they're not talking. Well, what do you think? Do you think that they really were talking about you, that you're that important? Heck no. But your little mind thinks that you are. Do you see what I'm going with this? Our minds can get us in trouble. Your mind can linger, and the next thing you know, you are in a bad mood because so-and-so talked about you, but really they weren't. They were talking about having a very nice 50th anniversary for you. But no, you took it wrong because they all shut up. And being a pastor's wife, when people, you know, I think, is there toilet paper in the back of my dress, or what's going on? Why are we all quiet here? Thank God that's never happened to me, but I heard that happened to someone else, so thank God. But yeah, our thoughts, our stinking thinking can get us in trouble. Why do you think that you have to think those thoughts? And it doesn't matter, even if they were talking about you, you are a king's kid. He loves us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You've got to have that thinking on. Thinking royalty, thinking that you're a queen or a prince or whatever. Because with the Lord, you're a winner. So learn to think before speaking. That's hard. That's another one that gets us in trouble. I challenge the ladies, count to 10 and be thinking about it. It's not a very long time, even 2 seconds. You know, we don't make our beds. This is something that my kids, it drives me crazy. I say, you can take 2 seconds and put your blankets over your pillow. 2 seconds. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, right? It doesn't seem like a long time, but it really is. And so when someone tells you something and you just automatically want to spit out, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, think before you speak. Are you going to edify, or are you going to tear down? So I always tell the kids, you tell them the good stuff, tell God the bad stuff. Because it's okay. He already knows you're angry anyway. At least that's my philosophy. So anyway, thinking, we need to just get that. And here's another thought to ponder. Are you ready? Life is what happens to you. Attitude is what you do with what happens to you. Think about that. Life is what happens to you. Attitude is what you do with what happens to you. Because my Bible says that there's nothing that comes my way that didn't have to go through the Father first. Because He cares about His children. And I'm a king's kid, and so are you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So therefore, anything, any trial, anything that comes my way, God must have a reason, plan, and purpose for it. And he says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Therefore, he will give me the strength to go through this. So instead of praying, God, take this away, I'm praying, God, what is it you want me to learn through this quickly so I can get rid of it? Amen? So then we become quick learners, don't we? So life is what happens to you. Attitude is what you do with what happens to you. Remember, God chooses what we go through. We choose how we go through it. God chooses what we go through. We choose how we go through it. Yeah. A grateful, great attitude. Amen. So with that in mind, let's read verse 8 again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Amen? So memorize those things. Do those things. Begin to fill our mind and learn to look for the best in people, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Am I the only one that finds myself finding negative things more than positive things? It seems like I always go to the negative side of things rather than the positive. Why do we do that? I don't really know. I'm asking you. Flesh? It's easier to go to the negative side than it is the positive side. Is that because guys on one side and brains are, I don't know. How's that work? I tell you what, it's work for me because I am always finding myself seeing and pointing out more negative things in my kids rather than telling them the positives. I find that. I'm working on that. Remember, we're all progressive workers here. We're still going forward, aren't we? And in life, we find negativity instead of positively. We see the glass, what, half full, but some see it half empty. And not really focused on the good or positive things. And I'm learning to praise instead of criticize. Amen? It seems that we are focused more on negativity in our lives more than we are on the positive things in our life. We need to understand this value. Having a good attitude not only is good for people around us, but it's good for our bodies as well. Because when I started with Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken, stingy, stinky, whatever dries up the bones. Amen? So a great attitude is important. Wow. If we would learn to appreciate more of what we already have, we will find that we have more to appreciate. Paul said that he's what? Content in any state that he's in, whether it be poor or rich, whether it be sickness or health. Sounds like wedding vows, right? Be content in what we have. Is that hard to do? In our society, I think it is, because our society says that we should keep up with whoever's your neighbor. I don't have the Joneses at my neighborhood. We have some Joneses in the building, though. So. Okay. Thank you. She gave me grace. That's awesome. Society says to keep up with. Easy to get caught up in it, too. It really is. I mean, it is. It's our flesh. What the heck? We want nice things, but at what cost? It's not bad to have nice things, okay? It's just how we go about getting them, what we do for them. Go figure. Lord, do you want me to have that? He'll bless you. Amen. My God has showed up so many times at the 11:59 hour. I mean, 1 minute before the next day and he shows up. Thank you, Lord. That's our God. I'm always saying you can ask any of the ladies on Thursday morning. Timing is everything with God. And we are seeing that. We see that in our lives. I'm telling you, it's the timing of the Lord. It's so important. Get it in you. So if we would learn to appreciate and be content. Yeah. I'm reading this just a minute. I'm going to skip that. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. This is silly. I don't even know why I threw this in there. But I had an appliance as my favorite appliance, and it's as old as me, 60-plus years. And it broke down. Darn, it was the best thing I ever had. And I went to get it fixed, and the man told me that it's going to cost me more to get it fixed than it is to buy one of those old cheapy ones. What has happened to our society? I threw that in there. We want nice things, but what at what cost? It's like, okay, that's just me. Maybe I'm an old person. Forget that. Strike it. Sorry, Lord. I got in the flesh. Okay. Solomon said in all his glory, Solomon was the smartest person in the Bible. The earthly pursuits we run after, trying to find fulfillment in anything the world has to offer, is like chasing the wind. No matter how hard we chase after it, it always evades us. That word evade means to escape us or avoid us. No matter how fast we run, we will never catch it, and we will never be contented with it if we ever do catch it, because we'll want something else. And I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, before I met Pastor Shane, I just was in love with this guy. He's like, oh, gosh, Lord, I love him. I thought that. I am so glad that God doesn't give us everything we ask for. I'm just throwing that out there. Be thankful. Be careful what you pray for. Amen. God will give it to you. You just ask the ladies. They tell me things. And I pray for them. They'll come back and look me straight in the eye and said, what? He answered it. It's like, well, duh. Well, duh. I can ask every one of them to stand up, and they would tell you the miracles and things that God is doing in their lives. Why? Because we're just crazy enough to believe God's word, that he's going to do what he says. Why? Because we're denying ourselves. Why? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. Why? Because I have a clear conscience. Why? Because I know who I am in Christ. I am saved. I am sanctified. What does sanctified mean? Set apart. Now you know a big word. You can flump that out on other people. Guess what? I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. Yes, you are. Not only that, but you're a king's kid. Not only that, but you're a royal priesthood. Not only that, but you're part of the kingdom. Not only that, but we're royalty who have been called forth out of darkness into the light. And who's the light? Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who is our Master, who is my best friend. Amen. He's your friend. He's your brother. We are joint heirs. What does that mean? That means we have a will. And it doesn't cost me $2,500 a year for life insurance. That just makes me mad. I'm getting mad at the devil again. But my inheritance is in Jesus Christ. So is yours, if you're a king's kid. There's so many benefits. And all he's asking us to do is give him us. Open up and give him me. Give him you. It sounds really easy, but it's work. I'm telling you what, it's work. Everyone say it's work. So, I say this to say this to say that. No, boy, if you're watching Shane, you just, I'm sure he's going to hear about this. All right, here we go. I lost my place. It's okay to let others be right even when they are wrong. What the heck? What lies behind us and what lies before us, it really doesn't matter. Catch this. If you love what matters. Catch that. What lies behind us and what lies before us really doesn't matter if you love what matters. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, the Father. Nothing compares to what lies inside of us. Nothing. Not even the beautiful homes, the cars, anything. Even letting others be right when you know darn well they're wrong. Which is what my friend did many times. I was right, but okay. I'll let you just go right through there. Amen. I'm not the only one that feels that way. I know it. It's okay to let others be right, even when they're wrong. And I'm learning that. And I'm trying to portray that to my grandkids. Arguing with a 4-year-old is like, yeah, exhausting. That would be the word. And so I asked the Lord, how do I do that? And it's so simple. He said, well, let's just take it. Is it real important to the kingdom of God? And I said, no. Okay. So why is it so important to you? Well, because it's something I wouldn't do. Is it harmful? No. Does it get it done? Yeah. Okay. So let them do it. It's okay to be wrong. Maybe it's the wrong I'm thinking, but it's not the wrong they're doing. So I'm giving you permission today to let others do it wrong. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? It's okay. It's okay. I'm telling myself, it's okay. It'll get done. Amen? Is this boring? I'm so sorry. All right, let's go on. Where am I? Oh, yes. What lies behind us, what lies before us is really doesn't matter if you love what matters. Nothing compared to what lies inside of us. A clean conscience, freedom, hope, joy, peace, and that blessed Holy Spirit. And with God, all things are possible. So tell your soul, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Amen? Put your hope in God. So I'm at a crossroads here. There's two ways we can go with this. I'm going to challenge you today to make a choice to really have a great, good attitude. You're just going to have to decide. I'm either going to be miserable or I'm going to have a good, happy attitude. I choose the happy attitude. How about you? And not only that, but I want us to each one be accountable to each other because we are family. Amen. So let's get rid of the negativity in our life and let's begin to do what is right. Let's begin to do things God's way, not our way. I gave you permission. So if I give you permission to let others do things that you think are wrong, we should let God use us to do things that don't make any sense at all, but bring glory and honor to Him, right? Even if He tells you to do cartwheels across the stage, which I've seen. That's a story, a miraculous story. I would love to share it, but so many of you have already heard it. You probably don't want to hear it again. You want to hear it? All right. This youth pastor's wife was up on stage. It's a huge church in Phoenix, Arizona. And God kept telling her to get up and do cartwheels across the stage while the senior pastor, and if I told you his name, you'd know who he was, mega church. You don't do that with him. You just don't do that. So you don't do, which with God, He makes us do things sometimes that we think are not, but for the grace of God, there go I. So she kept fighting it through a sermon. Pretty soon, it was just so heavy on her. She was sweating bullets. You know, I'm adding a little bit to it. But she finally couldn't resist anymore. It was like a hot seat. She had to get up. So she started to do cartwheels. And of course that drew attention to at least one person in the building, if not thousands. And all of a sudden you heard this shrieking noise clear up in the balcony. This is a huge church, 10,000 plus. Up in the balcony, you could hear this voice going, "Oh!" And just crying, "God!" And the whole place, holy hush. Come to find out later on, there was a gentleman up there that was having a conversation with God while the pastor was preaching. He said, "If you're real, if you are really real, you make someone do a cartwheel right now." True story. True story. True story. And it happened to be a police officer. So, go blue. Yes. And that impacted my life. I mean, yes, that would impact your life too. So I'm telling you, if God ever tells you to do something and it just doesn't make sense, and you know in your heart it is, and you'll know, you will know, do it. Because you don't know who it's going to touch. If God lays it on your heart to call someone, do it. If God lays it on your heart to smile at someone, do it. Even someone you don't know. I can tell you so many stories that I've drugged my feet. And then I can tell you stories of things that I really did do. And God miraculously, glory be to him, through them. But yeah, he wants to just use you. And there's nothing like having a clean conscience. There's nothing like having joy. That joy that's unspeakable. And not talking about just happy, happy joy. I'm talking about that joy that when all hell is breaking loose, you have joy in your heart to know that God has you right where he wants you. Because his word says that. Amen? And I'm closing with this. First, take a breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Do another one. Breathe in, breathe out. Now you're all awake. You didn't go to sleep on me. So we need to make a choice today. Negative or happy? Those are the choices. Can't be both. Let's get rid of the negativity in our life and begin to do what God wants us to do. His will, his way, his life. Take up our cross and follow him. Amen? So how do we do this? Application. Life application. So you can't go out and say, "Well, she didn't tell me how to do it." I did. First, you take responsibility. That's a hard word to say. Responsibility for your own attitude. No one's going to help you. This is you. This is you and him. You and Jesus. A great attitude comes when we learn to accept what God gives us and be happy with our lives. Enjoy your journey. Hey, hello. Do not compare each other. Do not compete with each other. Do not covet. Don't blame others. Hello. When you're pointing one finger, there's three of them pointing back at you. Maybe four if you... Anyway, don't blame others. These will get us in trouble. Definitely. Rejoice with our sisters and rejoice with our brothers in the Lord. Love. Here we go. Full circle right back to love. Love one another. Love one another. That's the secret. Remember, God is the ultimate judge, not man. We don't have to please man. Please the Lord. Remember, we need to do things his way, and he will reward us accordingly. That's a promise. That's a promise. You can take that to the bank. Amen. Fearing God. We don't talk much about that either. Fearing God. I'm not talking about fear, being afraid of God. I'm saying giving God his honor and reverent. That's the kind of fearing God I'm talking about. Fearing God and keeping his commandments is the solution to every problem we may face in life. The Word of God has an answer for everything that you need. And if you don't find the answer, call me. I love to study the Bible. You can ask the ladies. Bible word. And to have the heart of God, that's the second thing. The first thing is that we take responsibility for our own attitude. And the other one is to get the heart of God. Do you know what the heart of God is? We sing about it. We read about it. The heart of God. All he wants is fellowship with his people. And to be obedient and trust and obey. And to have the heart of God, which is love, the greatest fruit that requires no law. There is no law set upon love. Love is in, there's so much you can do there. So just give it. Give it to others. The right attitude of gratitude. Love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is what it says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have no love, I still am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We sang about that. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I even understood as a child. I even thought as a child. But when I became a man, and man is a gender, so it's women, man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love. You were all handed a little card. If you didn't get one, they'll give you one. Raise your hand and they'll get you one. I am challenging our church body to do a 40-day fast on fasting negativity. Say that word, negativity. We're going to fast negativity. Before you say, well, I have medicines, I can't. It has nothing to do with food. Okay? And all the people said, amen. And it's in Isaiah 58. And it is known as the acceptable fast to the Lord. If you were to turn to Isaiah 58 and read that, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read that. But I challenge you to read it. But on this little card, Isaiah 58, it has some to-dos. And then it has some promises if we do the to-dos. Can you say the to-dos to do the promises for those that we're to do so that we can get the promises of those that we can have? Did you get all that? Huh? Say what? Yes. All of that. I say all of that. All right. Next word. Here we go. 40-day fast, fasting negativity in Isaiah 58. These are just a few of the to-dos, okay? Show kindness to others. That's in verse 3 of Isaiah 58. Avoid contention and strife, even with family members, husbands, and wives. That's in Isaiah 58, verse 4. Set others free. Give them permission to fail. Ouch, that's hard for me. Verse 6 in Isaiah 58. Show mercy. That's verse 7 in Isaiah 58. Do not look for faults in others. That's verse 9. And if we would do that for 40 days and 40 nights, there's a reason why 40 days. Look it up. That's why I always tell ladies, what do you mean? I say, well, look it up, study, find out. What does the word 40 mean? Then there's these promises in Isaiah 58. And these are things that will come to you. Promises from God. Full recovery and restoration. Anyone in here want full recovery and restoration? God's glory will protect. Verse 8. Anyone want God's glory and protection? Answers to unanswered prayers. Verse 9 of Isaiah 58. Your light will rise and be seen. Verse 10. Guidance. Verse 11. Health. 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 Verse 11. Abundance, spirit, soul, and body. Verse 11. I need that. I'm 60 plus. Restoration to our city. Verse 12 of Isaiah 58. Fasting negativity. Okay? They say that a habit is created after 21 to 30 days. If you do something every day, it becomes a habit. I'm praying that this will become a habit. Because once you get this in us, once we get our brain defaults going, little things up there that they're like trails, and change the ones that aren't good, these negativity things, and put in place the good things. Anyone following me? Then we will see breakthrough in our church. And not only will we see breakthrough in our little church body, but it will go out into our community. It will go out into our city. It will go out into our state, Lord willing. Someday will be read. That's just my interpretation. Okay. And then into our country. Amen? No. No. More now than then. Now more than then. All right. And for those of you who are out in high-tech land out there, we're going to have this on our website. It's www.harvestca.org. HARVESTCA.ORG. This will be on our website. You can check it out. But I really encourage you to read Isaiah 58, the whole thing. 1 through 14, I think, is verses. 14 verses. Every one of them is a power verse. Every one of them has a negativity to overcome and promises of God. So this is homework. And I'm going to keep me challenged, and I'm going to challenge you. So who's up for a challenge? All right, and there's three roads to travel. You ready? Which road are you traveling? Three roads. Choose to travel. Are you choosing to travel the low road, the middle road, or the high road? Why the high road? The low road treats others worse than yourself. So we're treating people worse than ourselves if we take the low road. If you take the middle road, you're just treating people the same as you. But if you take the high road, and this is hard, and you'll be accounted to it, you're treating people better than even they treat you. That's the high road. I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. If you would just let your faith arise and trust God and take a risk and let go, we can be crazy people, but our God is greater. And he will not forsake you. He will not leave you. And we will be better for it. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being tentative with me. I'm very appreciative of that. And in closing, in prayer, I just want to invite, if you feel that you need a little extra prayer, to get you going. I would be happy to pray with you. If there's those of you here who don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about being saved and having Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to accept Him today, to have a clean, clear conscience, I'm going to leave that to invite you as well. If you want to give your heart to the Lord today and begin today a fresh new start with the Lord. But even that, even out in Wi-Fi land, if this has touched your heart today, I pray that you would surrender your life to the Lord as well if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's really easy. It's really easy. And I just feel like in my spirit that we all, since we're making a pledge today to do a fasting, that why don't we all pray this prayer together? And you just repeat after me. And let's just all make a refreshing renewal and ask the Lord to cleanse us and invite Him in one more time. Is that all right with you? And you out in TV, computer, Wi-Fi land out there, techie people, follow through. Here we go. Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. I open the door of my life and receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person that you want me to be. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I willingly give you my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, congratulations. If there's much rejoicing in heaven, the angels are rejoicing. Tell someone, get in your Bible, those of you who, and get in a church if you're in high techie land and aren't a member of a church. Get one. Come here. We'll welcome you. Come on. So thank you for following us on live stream today. I pray a blessing on you this week, all our friends and newcomers. And I invite you to be back with us next week at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Invite a friend. Invite a family member. Share our web with others. Blessed be to the Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you. Bye.